John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God has come, has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God has come, has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true. We are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:20. Galatians 3:14. Christ redeemed us in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of His Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:14. Christ redeemed us in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:14. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man whose trust in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man whose trust in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. Psalm 34:8. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 27. I'll give you time to find that passage. It's Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Maybe that helped a little. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to focus our minds and our hearts on the wonderful, eternal Word of God. God has blessed us all so magnificently. We're still alive. God has a purpose and a plan for us being here. God knows everything about us. He knows the beginning all the way to the end. He knows all of the things related to every detail of life. That simply means that He knows our heartaches, our burdens, our trials, our tests, our temptations, our successes, everything. He's promised in His Word that He would never leave us nor forsake us. He said He would be with us always, even unto the end of the world. What a magnificent promise that is. God has assured us that since He has us here on this earth right now, there's a reason for our being here. We must realize that. We must understand that His purpose includes for us to know Him, to love Him, to respond to Him, to be perceptive to His Word. It is wonderful indeed for us as believers to know that God has a magnificent and wonderful plan for our lives. Your existence on the earth, my existence on the earth, is not an accident. We're here today because it fits into the plan of our eternal God. I want to say it to every person in this auditorium and every person listening to my voice. You must realize that God is eternal. We've studied the characteristics and the attributes of God. God is sovereign, righteous, eternal life, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, immutability, veracity. Oh, how wonderful it is for us to study the essence, the characteristics, the attributes of our eternal God. Just realize that your existence, your presence, your being alive at this moment fits into God's plan. It's not an accident that you're here. It is not an accident that you're still alive. God desires for us to know that. I'm thankful that He let me live to be in 2020. I not only want to live in the 2020, but I want to have 2020 spiritual vision in 2020. I believe God desires that you and I have 2020 spiritual vision in these coming weeks and months and years. I'm not predicting, but I do believe that God has some good things in store for us in these coming weeks and months. I do not know. It's wonderful not to know. Because if we knew everything that God's going to do, we'd have a nervous breakdown, or we would get so excited that we would just be living outside of the realm of normality. If we really knew how God is putting things together. So I just want you to realize, and I'm realizing it myself, that God is good. God loves us. God has a plan for us. We spend a moment in prayer now before we read the scripture and move into our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we bow to express our thanks that we are your children. Not because we deserve to be, but totally because of the manifestation of God's grace to us. It is by grace we're saved through faith. And that salvation is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. There's no boasting on our behalf. The only boasting we have is boasting in the grace of God. And we're thankful indeed that we're the recipients of that grace. We ask that you'll guide us in these moments of study today, that we'll be able to take the things we're learning and utilize them so that we can be the kind of believers that we ought to be. A good witness to express to others the great love of God for mankind and what Jesus Christ has done and is doing for all of us. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. As all of you realize that we are having a departure. We had a departure from the book of Ephesians. Now we're having a departure from a brief study in the book of Daniel. We are dealing with subjects, I believe, that will be beneficial to us as we think in terms of subjects like the rapture, the promise, the mystery, the tribulation, the marriage of the Lamb, the judgment seat of Christ, the battle of Armageddon, the millennium. So many magnificent subjects in your word. We pray that we will have open minds and open hearts as we think in terms of what you have for us. We ask that you'll bless us now in this study on the subject of the mystery. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen, you see Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Now on the screen, you see this verse, which says, to whom God wished to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mystery. The word is a beautiful word indeed. If you want to write the word down, I think you should. It is the word mysterion. I'll spell it for you, let you write it out. It's a word that you need to have in your vocabulary. Not only just that you have the word, but you have an understanding of what the word means. From the Greek, it is M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. Mysterion. I'm going to spell it several times if you want to write it. M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. I could give it to you in the Greek. I could give it to you in English, which I will do just briefly. It is not important that you get all these Greek letters, but it's okay if you have them. What we want to do today is to get a good, clear, clean definition of the word mysterion, mystery. What we discover here is that when you take a look at the Bible, you will discover that there's an emphasis in the fact that God used individuals. Many biblical characters of the Old Testament. We look at Abraham, for instance, and we see how God moved and blessed, and we have an emphasis in the Old Testament on Abraham. We have an emphasis on the Gentiles of the Old Testament. When you go into the New Testament, you'll discover that there's an emphasis upon the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. A man of God, Paul, who was used in a magnificent way. No doubt about it. When you come to the New Testament and you come to the book of Acts, and you get into the ninth chapter, you will find the conversion of this man, Saul of Tarsus. When you read through these Pauline or Pauline epistles, you will discover how God used this man, the Apostle Paul, in a magnificent way, such as the writings of Ephesians, Colossians, so forth. On the screen today, we have Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. It says, to whom God wished to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. We look at the Jews in the age of Israel. We see the Gentiles in the age of grace. We discover that when you look at this 27th verse of Colossians, we find the Apostle Paul, the Spirit of God, using him to write the Colossian believers, in writing, of course, to us. It says, to whom God wished, desired, to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. The word riches is a magnificent word in the New Testament. We don't really realize how rich we are, but the word riches is such a fantastic word from the original language. God wished, desired. The verb there is what is known in the Greek as an infinitive. Not going into great detail other than to tell you that an infinitive verb is a word that expresses wish or desire. And the word here is God wishes, desires to make known to us as believers some things about the glory of God and the riches of that glory. I believe sometimes we live and die as believers without comprehending how fantastic God's riches are. Riches related to salvation. Riches related to the Christian life and what has been provided for us in the Christian life. Some of the greatest information you will ever read in your life is inserted in today's bulletin on the subject of hope. Some of the greatest information you will ever read in your life is presented here in relationship to the ministry of Don and Joy Fueling, in relationship to the contribution that has been made in relationship to the ministry of those two individuals plus many others. Much is being said. Oftentimes I'm afraid that we get our church bulletins and they go to the trash. They go to some shelf somewhere and we miss really getting the content of these magnificent bulletins. When I look at this verse, to whom God wished, desired to make known to us, so that we can become aware of the riches of the glory of this great mystery. What is the meaning, mystery? Well, first of all, let me tell you that the Greek word again is mysterion. M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. Which means secret teaching. I'll just go ahead and put it on the screen for you to see. Colossians 1:27, Ephesians 1:9. The Greek word is mysterion. I hope you can read it from where you're sitting. In the Greek, it is M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. I transliterated that. I've taken it from the Greek and put it over into the English. M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. If I were you, I would write that word out in English, which means secret teaching. It comes from this Attic Greek word, mystes, M-U-S-T-E-S, referring to a person being initiated into a Greek fraternity. This is described for us in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 11 through 15. I'm not reading that now. I'm encouraging you to write the verses down so that you can look at it later. The Greek word is an Attic Greek word, mystes, M-U-S-T-E-S. It refers to a person being initiated into a Greek fraternity, found in Matthew 13, 11 through 15, and Mark chapter 4, 10 and 11. What is so interesting is, number two, that the word in the New Testament always refers to the church age information. What is church age information? Church age information deals with that period of time between Pentecost. How many times have I said this? Probably thousands of times. between Pentecost on the one hand and the resurrection of the body of Christ on the other hand, the rapture of the saints. If I were to come by your place and ask you to give me some definitions, I would be embarrassed if you couldn't do it, because I've said it hundreds of times. What is the church age? You would tell me, of course. I am so proud of my teaching. I am so thankful that I've been able to do this and that you were such good listeners. I believe all of you would make an A if I gave you a test. What is the meaning of the church age? When did the church age begin? When does the church age end? What is involved in the church age? I believe that all of you who are in this auditorium today would be able to explain that. I would ask you to take sheets of paper and write out information from your mind, from your heart, from your soul. I believe you'd be able to do that. Oh, while I'm talking, you're wondering about yourself. You're wondering, can I do that? Would he be happy if he saw my paper? I know that's what you're thinking, so I'm not going to ask you to do this out loud. But I want you to know that we're living between Pentecost and the rapture. And the rapture could occur at any moment. You and I may be the blessed individuals to be on this earth at the time of the rapture. Wouldn't that be something? Some of you are saying, yeah, I'd like for that to happen. Because that means that you're a chicken. You don't. I'm not identifying myself. I'm just identifying you. Just leave me out of it, please. It's okay with me if I go by means of the rapture, but if we don't go by means of the rapture, you know how we're going to go? Sure, we're going to go by means of physical death. All right. The word of the New Testament always refers to the church age information. You find this in Ephesians 3, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Beginning with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've noticed that there's been reference by our young ministers in relationship to baptism. The baptism in relationship to the baptism of water. And also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The church age began with Pentecost. And uniquely you find that in the book of Acts. Look at it, if you will, in Acts chapter 2, but not right now. You will discover that something unique happened at that time. And here we find the preaching of the Word of God. And here we find the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was not a wet baptism. It was a dry baptism. It's the very thing that happened to you when you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. A dry baptism. A dry baptism is when God the Holy Spirit takes you and puts you into the family of God. It is God the Holy Spirit who works a miracle of imputation. Imputation simply means that this takes place at the point of regeneration. Regeneration is when God takes a person who is unsaved, a dichotomous body and soul individual, and changes that person into a body, soul, and spirit individual. The dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're taking notes, let's go back and look at it. Number one, definition. Mystery means that this is a Greek word which means secret teachings. It comes from the Attic Greek word mystes. It refers to a person being initiated into a Greek fraternity, explained in Matthew 13 and Mark chapter 4. Number two, the word in the New Testament always refers to the church age information. beautifully depicted in Ephesians 3, 2 through 6, beginning with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Notice, if you will, now, number 3, if you're taking notes, on the day of Pentecost, all believers were entered into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize that through the years, many times I've gone too rapidly. I've given you sentences that are profound and great and necessary to understand, and then I go so rapidly that you don't get it. And I'm trying to learn. After so many years, I ought to be learning. I'm having so much fun dealing with these young ministers. I'm trying to help them see the importance of standing here and speaking up. It bothers me when people stand up here and whisper to you folks. Amen. I just don't like it. I'm talking to all of you now. If you stand up here and say something where people can hear it. Some of you are saying, oh, is he talking to me? Yes, I'm talking to all of us. I'm telling these young ministers, get up, speak up, shut up. Okay. No, I don't say shut up. But that's what I'm supposed to do too. Speak up, shut up. All right. The word in the New Testament always refers to the church age information. Look at number 3. On the day of Pentecost, all believers were entered into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice carefully the following words. In the Old Testament, you have information about the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Christ, but all of this occurred in the age of Israel. Amen. I don't want you to miss this, folks. It's powerful to know it. Many people live and die without knowing this. Look at it. On the day of Pentecost, all believers were entered into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, you have information about the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Christ. But all of this occurred in the age of Israel. It was not a mystery. It was not a mystery. The tribulation is also well described in the Old Testament, and not a mystery. You ought to put it down. The tribulation information is very well emphasized in the Old Testament. It's not a mystery. It belongs to the age of Israel. Tribulation. We're going to be dealing with the tribulation. We're going to be looking at the period of time known as the tribulation. 3.5 years, the last 3.5 called the Great Tribulation. We're going to be looking at this. The tribulation, well described in the Old Testament. Not a mystery, because it too belongs to the age of Israel. The Second Advent. The Millennium. Also described in the Old Testament. It was not church age information. I appreciate you taking the time to write some information for yourself. Number 4. The mystery concept of the church age was never revealed in the Old Testament. And the church is the fraternity with the ability to understand it. Folks, we're living in a magnificent time. Do you realize that? Amen. That's the reason why I believe God wants me to help all of us see how fantastic it is to be alive between Pentecost and the rapture. Right now, God is good to us, good to you, good to me, to let us still be alive in 2020. I do not know what all will take place in coming weeks and months, but I do believe that God is in charge and God knows how to handle the situation. The mystery concept number four of the church age was never revealed in the Old Testament. And the church is the fraternity with the ability now to understand. Romans 16:25-26 tells us this. Colossians 1:26-27, where we're studying now, tells us this. Number five. We'll be going home in a few minutes. Please take this down. Number five. Jesus was the first person to reveal church age information. Jesus Christ was the first person to reveal church age information. And he did so in the age of Israel. Jesus the prophet presented this concept, which had not been presented in the Old Testament. I'm going to back up and let you see that, because if you don't get it down, you probably won't be thinking about it. If you get it down and refer back to it, it may help you. Jesus Christ was the first person to reveal church age information, and he did so in the age of Israel. Jesus the prophet presented this concept, which had not been presented in the Old Testament times. Union with Christ. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of Christ were not found in the Old Testament. Those things should be written into your notes somewhere. If I should say to you, explain to me the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, could you do it? If I said to you, would you do me a favor, explain to me the indwelling Christ, could you do it? Notice, please, again. Jesus was the first person to reveal church age information in the age of Israel. Jesus the prophet presented this concept, which had not been presented in the Old Testament. Union with Christ. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of Christ, were not found in the Old Testament. Number six, the church began with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This had not happened in all history before. The church began with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you read the first few chapters of the book of Acts, you will find some things that will blow your mind. The church began with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This had not happened in all history before Jesus announced to his disciples just a few days before his ascension. But all occurred in the age of Israel. This was not a mystery. The tribulation is also well described in the Old Testament. And I repeat, not a mystery, because it belongs to the age of Israel. I repeat, the second advent and the millennium are also described in the Old Testament. It was not church age information. The word mysterion always refers to the church age information. on the day of Pentecost, and I'm repeating, all believers were entered into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. As you have heard in recent days, we've had message after message on the subject, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And the scripture says, in you, and you in me. The first declaration of the mystery, the mysterion. The epistles are biblical concepts of this mystery. What we have here is an emphasis on the fact that every minister has the responsibility of giving out church age information. I put in my notes, a person with the gift of ministry is responsible for communicating church age concepts to his flock. The rapture does not belong to the age of Israel. Therefore, the rapture is not found in the book of Matthew. Many of you read, two shall be grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left. Two on the housetop, one taken, the other left. That is not a reference to the rapture. That is a reference to the second advent. What you have to understand is, we have scripture that deals with the age of Israel. We have scripture that deals with the age of grace. Amen. Don't take age of Israel information and try to shove it into the church age. I'm having so much fun, but I need to come to draw some conclusions about what I wanted to do just before we left today. I'd like for you, if you have your church bulletin for today, to let me point out something to you in relationship to the subject of what God does in this church age. Mystery. Magnificent. Beautiful. It has to do with the subject of elpis, Greek word for hope. And all I want to do is just ask you to take your church bulletin, and before you go to sleep tonight, read carefully the concepts in this bulletin in relationship to the subject of hope. In this bulletin, there is an emphasis upon hope one, hope two, and hope three. I'm not preaching that now. I'm just referring to it. It's in the bulletin. I want you, please, 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 whatever you do, before you close your eyes and sleep tonight, read carefully through this information. Hope one has to do with salvation. Hope two has to do with your Christian life, where you are right now. And hope three has to do with your departure from this life. Hope, hope, hope. In each one of these, there's a potential. And then the potential becomes a reality. You follow what I'm saying? In each one of these, there's a potential. And then the potential becomes a reality. Potential, for instance, of hope one. Unsaved individuals have the potential of being saved. And when they accept Christ, it becomes a reality. So hope one becomes a reality when an unsaved person accepts Christ. So it's a potential that becomes a reality. How fantastic that is. And each one of these first two, hope one and hope two, are related to the subject, biblical subject of imputation. Now, some of you are saying, what in the world is he saying now? What do you mean by imputation? Imputation means that there's something to be put into something. Here's something that needs to be put into something. Here's something that needs what's to be put in. Does that make sense? Here's salvation. Here's an unsaved person. Here's something that needs to be put in. Here's a person who needs that which is to be put in. And the only way that you can have it put in is to accept it as a gift. You don't work for it. You don't pay for it. You don't join the church to get it. You accept it. It's a gift. So hope one, a potential, becomes a reality when imputation is received. Got it? You even nodded your head. That lets me know you got that. Man, alive. Woo! That's wonderful teaching, isn't it? No, it's wonderful, good that you're listening. Imputation, something to be put in. Someone who needs that which is to be put in. I accept that which is to be put in. I take it. I accept it. It becomes not a potential anymore. It becomes a reality. Salvation is real. Folks, you've got to know that salvation is real. Salvation is not something, if you ask a person, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. Hope so. That's so silly. Yes, I'm going. Well, why do you know you're going? Because I've accepted what Jesus Christ has done for me. He died for me. He was buried. He came forth out of the grave, victorious over sin, death, hell. I accepted him. He accepted me. I know I'm going to heaven because I'm not depending upon myself. I'm depending upon what he said he was going to do for me, and he doesn't lie. He tells the truth, and I trusted him, and he's done it. You see what I'm saying? That's hope. That's hope that was potential that's become a reality. I'm having fun, but it's time to go. Folks, there's so much for us to learn. The closing minute now is for those who are listening by way of the internet. Some, maybe hundreds, I don't know, have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but they could do it now. May we bow for a prayer, please. If that's your state today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you could do it now. This is such a fantastic gift. We don't deserve it. God loves us. Christ was willing to come to the earth and die for us. He did all this. When we received him, he receives us. When we receive him, he receives us. You can receive him now. Jesus said, I'm the way. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Thank you, Father, for your grace, for salvation. Thank you that you've made it so plain, so wonderful, and that we are the recipients of that magnificent gift by imputation. We've accepted it. And we know that when we accept what you say, we receive what you said you would do. We pray that there will be many now to accept you as their Savior. And we thank you for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.